Thank you tonight, gentlemen. Appreciate that very much. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I'm thankful for the truth of that song tonight. And good to see you on this Friday evening as you honor the class of 2016. And I just want to say, just from the very get-go, congratulations. It's okay to smile. You know that, don't you? It only gets easier, right? If you can handle calculus class, I think you can handle about anything in college. I was getting nervous just listening to her talk about calculus. And also would be amiss tonight if I didn't say a big thank you to the faculty and the staff of both the Christian school and the college. Thank you for your sacrifice and thank you for your investment. And I pray that God will raise up many more of your tribe, people that would be having a burden for training the next generation, whether it be for the Lord's work in the Bible college or have a heart for teaching in the high school and junior high, elementary school, all those nuts and bolts that are required in the education for the students. And I'm a firm believer in Christian education tonight. I'd like to just say this evening that I believe Christian education is needed more today than ever before. But however, it is amazing to see that the commitment to it is perhaps wavering unlike ever before in our churches. And I say that tonight for every parent that has to work two jobs, for every mother that works herself to the bone so that her children can be in school, I want you to know it's worth the investment. And I encourage you to continue it. And very few churches do I know of in America that have the opportunity that this church has. You don't just have an elementary school, a high school, junior high school, but also in a college setting, being able to train. I'm a firm believer in Christian education, not just in the high school area, but also in the college realm. I believe it's a great thing. And my prayer is for the class of 2016 that your best years are ahead. And they certainly can be if your focus is in the right place. Join me if you have your Bibles tonight. If not, I want you to listen very carefully from Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6 tonight. I'd like to read one verse that Jesus gave His disciples years ago. A verse that 2,000 years later applies to the class of 2016. It applies tonight to every mom and dad, grandmother, grandfather that's in this room this evening. And so without further delay, let me read the verse and we'll begin. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And tonight, in the brief time that we have, I want to speak to you on this subject, the danger of distraction. As a kid growing up, I didn't have the opportunity to play a whole lot of sports, although I did get to play basketball. I did play baseball. There was one sport that my parents would never let me play, and that was football. I was an only child. My parents, very overprotective. My mother, she was always the kind. I could be playing with a pillow in the living room, and she'd say, "Honey, be careful. You're going to put your eye out." That's how overprotective she was. But there was one sport that they did let me play that to this day I still don't understand why they let me play it. Because of the danger, because of the treacherous nature of it. Some of you say, "What sport could that be?" It was backyard football. I always marveled. My parents would never let me play organized football with a helmet and pads and referees and coaches and a standard field. But yet they would let me play with the neighborhood punks who had no regard for rules. We played in an uneven area. The field, there was no such thing as regulation. And while no referees were there to throw flags, on several occasions we threw punches to settle our differences because of some of the dirty play. But I remember one time playing flag football. I was lined out as a wide receiver, and I was built then just like I am now. I'm not built for speed. I'm built for comfort, all right? And I still remember being lined out as a wide receiver. The quarterback, after the ball was hiked, he saw that I had run behind the defense. And back in those days as a kid, you didn't know what a slant or a flag or a post flag route was. You only knew one route. That was run wide open as fast as you can. And so I'm just running in a straight line, and lo and behold, as I looked over my shoulder, sure enough, the guy had thrown the football my way. I was so excited. I knew that in watching the trajectory of that ball, I knew that I was going to have to continue running as fast as I could in order to catch it because he'd led me perfectly. And so with my head turned over my shoulder, running straight ahead, constantly looking at that ball, I can still see as it was getting closer and closer, and my adrenaline and my excitement was growing. And about the time the football came over my shoulder, it was an old, rough, Nerf football. I can still remember the feeling of it as it touched my fingertips. And I thought, boy, this is great. And right about the time that Nerf football touched my fingertips, I'll never forget what happened after that. The guide wire of a light pole caught me across the neck, picked my feet up off the ground, and back landed first, knocked the wind clear out of me. You ever had that happen before? That unhealthy feeling of trying to breathe, but you can't. I remember laying there helpless, group of teenagers gathering around me. And you know how teenagers are. All these teenagers gathered around me with this look of false concern. Kneeling over me, breathing the air that I so desperately wanted to breathe. And one of them finally piped up and said, "You okay?" I don't remember how I answered. I either nodded my head or maybe I grunted, "Uh-huh." But as soon as they knew that I was going to be okay, I remember all of them falling on the ground, laughing their heads off. You know, any casual observer of that game, he saw what was happening from a distance. He sees this kid on the outside running as straight as an arrow, but running right into the guide wire of a light pole. Any casual observer, I could watch him, see, I could hear him from a distance. He'd just be standing there and he'd be, "You know, that kid better watch it. If he's not careful, he did." Now, my question to you tonight is, why in the world would a young man run and be clotheslined by the guide wire of a light pole? You'd say, "Well, that's a good question. He must be insane." But let me make a simple answer to you tonight. The problem was this: I was focused on the wrong thing. Some of you say tonight, "Now, brother, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you're playing football, it's a good thing to be focused on a football because, after all, that is what you're playing." And generally, I would agree with you, except for this: I would rather not be decapitated. But what was obvious to everybody else wasn't obvious to me. Why? Because I was focused on the wrong thing. And can I tell you on this joyous occasion tonight how sad it would be for a member of this class to be focused on the wrong thing? How sad it would be tonight for people who've come, you've come to hear and to watch a high school graduation or a college graduation, and yet what you don't realize tonight is God has you in this room this very hour for more than just watching a graduation. It could be tonight that the Holy Spirit of God is trying to work in your heart as a mom, as a dad, or a brother, or a sister, and caution you about the danger of distraction. When Jesus talks to His disciples in this verse, there are three very simple things I think He reiterates. Number one, He talks about their pursuit. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." I was raised as an only child. I didn't have the blessing of chasing my siblings through the house. But I'll tell you, having three children myself, it became a regular occurrence. There'd be times that perhaps one of the older brothers would be holding one of the little sister's dolls hostage. Daughter be all tore up about it, and she'd be chasing my son through the house who has that baby doll and a plastic gun or ropes tied him up, whatever the case. And she just chased him through the house. There were times I'd watch one of my boys run through the house chasing after my daughter after she had wrecked those Legos that he had worked tirelessly on for hours. and watching them chase and run back and forth. If you've got siblings tonight or you've ever seen siblings chase each other, then you're going to understand what I'm about to say. When Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness," He was talking about our pursuit, and here it is. Every person in this room tonight is chasing after something. You understand, your life is pointed in a direction. You may be chasing tonight after the things of this life, which, by the way, one day will perish and vanish away. You may be here tonight and you're chasing popularity, but the only problem with that is that you can never have enough in of your flesh. You may be here tonight and you're chasing after your own way. You say, "I want what I want." God forbid that this should be the case, but let's say a member of the senior class of the high school, one of the reasons they're celebrating tonight is not just because they have graduation, but let's say it's because in less than 3 months I'll be out from under mom and dad's roof and I'll go have my own way. Be careful about your way. The Bible says that there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. I heard a man say this, I'll never forget it. He said, "All it takes for God to destroy a man is to let him have his own way." God doesn't need the help of any foreign government to topple you. You understand, in order for you to be conquered, He doesn't need nuclear weapons. God can just give you up to your own lusts and you self-destruct by your own choice. But I want to ask you tonight, what direction is your life? What direction are you headed? Tonight, class of 2016, which way are you going? He says, "But seek first," what? "The kingdom of God and His righteousness." Now, before I talk about the kingdom of God and His righteousness, which are the two things to be sought, let me give you a general Bible pattern of what we ought to seek after. Deuteronomy 4:29, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." One of the greatest pursuits of any graduate in the class of 2016 and any person in this room tonight is not the pursuit of education, it's not the pursuit of popularity, but our greatest pursuit is the pursuit of God. And I'm so glad tonight that God doesn't play hide and go seek with us. He says, "If you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me." And the greatest thing that any person in this room will ever learn to do is to seek God with all of his heart and with all of his mind. The Bible tells us also in 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 11, "Seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face continually." I want to say, especially to you high school graduates tonight, one of the greatest mistakes you can ever make is to seek Him when you're in Christian school and turn your back when you leave. I hope that God is more real to you next year than He is this year. Parents here tonight, can I encourage you in this? When we live a part-time Christianity, we do great damage to a younger generation. We come to church on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and we undo everything the preacher's preached for 5 or 6 days. And we expect our children to have stability. We expect our children to have consistency in their lives when we model just the opposite. We put a lot of emphasis in our day and time, the millennials, about, "I want to be authentic. I want to be real." And of course, I can appreciate somebody being real a lot more than being fake. But when it's all said and done, let's be godly and follow God and let's be real in that order. But if I can encourage you tonight, seek the Lord continually. You're going to face greater problems. You're going to face greater issues. Listen, there was a time when you stood in a lunch line and the choice was chocolate milk or white milk. Listen to me, we're talking about one day a spouse, one day a career, one day an area, a path of your life. The stakes are far greater and therefore seek God even more. Psalm 27:4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Could you imagine watching an interview on national television? Graduate of Calvary Christian School standing there in WXII. I think that's still a local station, right? I watched them all the time when I was a kid. I think Cameron Kent's about 110 years old now. and they'd shove a microphone in their face and say, if there was anything that you could have, what would it be? And imagine with me that graduate looking directly at the camera with a big old smile, and they said, to be in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You know what the common man and world would think of that person? They're nuts. They're crazy. But that ought to be the heartbeat of every child of God in this room tonight. But he says, but seek what? First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What does that mean? I believe very simply put tonight that Jesus was telling His disciples when He said, seek the kingdom of God. He said, seek that which is eternal. Those chairs that you're sitting in won't last forever. Did you know that? Some of you say they're a mite bit uncomfortable right now. Hey folks, we're only about 40 minutes into this thing. They tell me there's another 2 hours to go. No, I'm just kidding. Athletes, all of their lives, they work towards a goal of being an MVP or winning a championship. Some of them only years later to die of diseases perhaps inflicted upon them while they played, and they had no idea it was happening. I was in Brother Coates' church a few years ago. I'll never forget a lady who was perhaps in her 90s playing the piano, her mind being afflicted by either Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. Whatever it was a debilitating disease. And while this lady had lost much of her senses, she could still play the piano. Never in a church have I ever seen a man, a husband, sit beside of his wife and turn the pages while she played. I thought that was odd. I talked to Brother Coates afterwards and I said, Brother, I've never seen that before. He said, there's a story beside of it. He said, this woman's mind has become such that while she can hardly talk and she can hardly do anything, she can still play the piano after all those years. And then I come back to the church and she's no longer playing. Her husband would sit there and a rose was pinned in the pew in her memory. And you know what I thought to myself? I thought, here was a lady. She never dunked a basketball. She never hit a home run. But she knew what it was like to lay up treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. You know why? Because she had a glimpse of the eternal. And every one of us in this room, as a child of God, if you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, seek those things which are eternal. And my friend, if you're here tonight and you've never been born again, tonight's a fine time to be thinking about eternity. Amen. It's never too soon to think about eternity. And then he said, and the righteousness, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, those things which are holy, those things which are pure. Young people, I want to tell you tonight, there's an attribute of God that is not preached on very much anymore. But there's a great necessity for it. It's called holiness. If you leave this place and you have a desire to fit in with the world, that's contrary to what God wants. He wants you to be a peculiar people. That doesn't mean that your wardrobe is stripes and plaid. It doesn't mean that your colors clash, but it means there's a distinct difference between your life and the world. What are you seeking after tonight? The kingdom of God and His righteousness? Not only does He talk about His pursuit, but Jesus also talks about their priority. One word in this verse makes all the difference when He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I want to say tonight that just because you attend a Christian school or you graduate from one does not mean that you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Some of you tonight say, well, you know, brother, I think that sounds a little condescending. Well, then permit me to rephrase it. Just because I'm a Bible college president and an evangelist doesn't mean by default that I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I believe in our churches today we live in a day and time of misplaced priorities. We say that God has a place in our lives. We say, I'm a member of the Sunday school class. I'm a member of the church. Well, I go to this activity and I even put little money in the offering plate. And yet God still, we don't still seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Might I stop tonight and to say to every parent, we wonder why a younger generation doesn't have the right priority. I'm afraid that frequently it's because the previous generation didn't either. You understand, if you want your young people to have God in the proper priority, you have to teach them that God is greater than a round sphere that they chase around a field every night of the week. I'm afraid we've taught our children how to chase soccer balls on Sundays, and we've taught them how to chase soccer on balls on Wednesday, but we haven't taught them how to chase God. Now folks, while that may sound a little harsh tonight, I'm just a firm believer, if we're going to see the best in your life and mine and in this class, we have to have an unreserved following of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I want to say to every one of you tonight, when you leave this place, what will make and break you is what you seek first. You know, whenever I got home from school, whenever I was in junior high and high school, the first thing I wanted to do when I got home was to change my clothes and go to the refrigerator. And depending on what was more uncomfortable, my hunger pains or my clothing, that determined which place I went first. Why? Because it was something that was set in my mind. But for every one of us in this room, we are following something first. Something has the priority in our lives. And what has our priority makes all the difference. In our small town where I live in Lattimore, 488 people. Don't be awed by that awesome population. I know it dwarfs King, North Carolina. We do have a couple of things that you folks don't have in King. We have a restaurant called The Depot, and we have a sheep farm. I haven't seen any of those up here. But one thing we do have is a post office. I noticed your post office just right across the street. I remember years ago I needed to mail something at the post office, and I went to our postmaster. His name was Phil Cash. Phil Cash is with the Lord now. He was a Methodist Sunday school teacher, and he worked as the postmaster of our small town. Now that Phil's in heaven, I think he knows he should have been a Baptist all these years. I think he would have learned that by now. But I really did. I had a great time with Phil. But one day I walked in, I said, Phil, I got a problem. I said, I've got to mail this, and it's got to get there very quickly. And I know if I mail it first class, I'm afraid it may not make it on time. And he said, well, he said, you've come to the right place. He said, you put it in this envelope. It's what we call priority mail. Now, you can know by the prices. This was a few years ago. He said, you give me $3, and he said, we can get it there in 2 to 3 days usually. He said, no, we don't guarantee it, priority mail, but most of the time it gets there in 2 to 3 days. But then the good salesman that he was, he pulled out the other envelope. He said, now this one here, this is called express mail. You hand me $10.95 and we'll get it there by noon the next day. He said, what would you like to do? Well, just like any Baptist, you pull out your wallet and you look. And you say, $3, $10.95. $3, $10.95. That's 2 extra value meals. That's 2 or 3 boxes of shotgun shells on sale. You start thinking like that and you say, I think I'll try the $3 thing and hope for the best. But I remember doing that. I remember mailing that package or that letter for $3. You know, here's the thing that I don't want you to miss. You know, usually the higher priority you pay for something, the more it costs you out of your pocket. You put a higher priority on something, usually there's more to be paid. Now, before I go any further, let me say this. Anything that I give up for Jesus ought not be considered a cost on my part when I think about what He gave up for me. But nonetheless, listen, that's the reality tonight. If you're here and you're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it may cost you friendship. It may cost you ambitions. It may cost you your future desire. You have your life all planned out. By the way, class of 2016, let me tell you this tonight. If you're here on the verge of high school graduation and you have your entire life planned out, for instance, some of you ladies, you say, well, my husband, he's going to be 6'3" tall. His waistline is going to be slim. He's going to have a head full of hair. He's going to have blonde hair. And we're going to have 4 children. And we're going to live in a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom house with a 3-car garage. He's going to work and doing this, and I'm going to work and doing that. If you've got it planned out that far, here's the best thing you can do. Write all of it out in a big list. Read over it one time, and then throw it away. Because it probably ain't going to happen that way. But you know, you can have all of your life planned out. You say, boy, I've got this just check by check by check by check. You may have your future planned out. Let me tell you, don't let your future plans be more important than the will of God. God's never made a mistake with one life, but you have to seek Him first. I wonder, what are you willing to pay tonight to do the will of God? I wonder tonight, what is it that you're holding in your hand? You say, God, I'm unwilling to give this. What's your priority? As a kid growing up, I remember playing in field day in elementary school. Everybody got a ribbon. That's where this everybody's a winner mess started, when I was in field day. You say, well, why do you talk so harshly about that? Because we're teaching a younger generation of kids that everybody's a winner when in life they're not. Now, I know it sounds all feel good, but I think we've robbed our young people of any ambition of competition and hard work and just passed them the ribbons along. I remember when I was in elementary school, I got a 5th place ribbon for the egg spoon relay. Y'all quit laughing. You're hurting my feelings. Say, I know, I remember, you're built for comfort, not for speed. Not everybody can win and be good, you know, in that. You're just as impressed with a green 5th place ribbon as I am. Listen, I'm a full-grown adult. If you gave me a 2nd place trophy, you know what? I wouldn't put it on my wall. I'd put it in a drawer somewhere. That's a useless item. 2nd place trophy. Well, I like 1st place. I want to compete. That's what I want to see. But I'm telling you, there's some of us in here tonight, we're Christians. We don't have a 2nd place trophy or a 5th place ribbon, but we've relegated the God to something less than 1st place, and for some reason we're proud about it. I just want to say tonight to the class of 2016 and every loved one in this room tonight that is listening, hey, any life that puts God less than first is unfulfilled and unhappy. But then the last thing I show you is a promise. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What does that mean? Was that Jesus saying, listen, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you'll be a millionaire. Have your own private jet. Sow a seed of faith. Some of you say, that sounds like people that I watch on TV. Turn them off. Let me stop for just a moment and say this. If you're here tonight and you're enamored with all of these people that say, oh, I'll tell you what, you claim the word of faith and you can have anything that you want. You can have the nicest car and the nicest house. Listen, that's not what Jesus was saying in Matthew 6:33. And if you're here tonight and you're snookered by one of those people on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, let me encourage you, write them a letter and say something like this. If you really are a true prophet of God, instead of charging hundreds of dollars for people to attend your services in an arena so that they can be healed of their infirmities, why don't you go to Baptist Hospital and clean out the pediatric cancer ward for free? And then once you're done, go by the local funeral homes and raise the dead while you're at it for free. Jesus didn't charge admission at the feeding of the 5,000. He didn't tell the guy by the pool of Bethesda, you do me right and I'll do you right. Bunch of hucksters out there. But I will tell you what I believe Jesus was telling His disciples. He was saying, you have your priorities right, and I make you a promise. I'll meet your needs. There's a lot of needs represented up here. You're going to have some college school bills. There's going to be some needs. One day it's going to be a spouse. One day it's going to be children. It's going to be clothing. You're going to learn mom and dad's not footing the bill for everything from here on out. But Jesus said, that's okay. If you seek me first, everything will be okay. That's a promise. Let me tell you tonight, that's a promise. It's just as good as John 3:16. I'm glad the same God that promised me, listen, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the same God that said, Bill, listen, if you'll seek the things that are eternal and the things that are holy, I promise you I'll meet your needs. You might leave here tonight with some graduation gifts. Would that hurt your feelings at all? You say, man, it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all. I wish you'd have preached this last week so they would have brought them tonight. Well, I'll tell them, listen, you can give them to them later. But the greatest thing you'll leave this place tonight with is not a check, but a promise. Now, as I sum up our time together, I'm almost done. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you leave this room distracted tonight, you may be in great danger. You leave this room tonight fixated on your own way, you may be in great danger and you don't even know it. You're here tonight and you say, all right, I'm living for myself. What is the big deal? You say tonight, so I'm following after the world. So I'm not right with God as a Christian. What's the big deal? There's a grave danger in distraction. Gentleman that we had at our school a number of years ago, when he came, he had two small children, a boy and a girl. His girl was a rather dainty young lady. The boy was Dennis the Menace. Every time you saw him coming down the sidewalk, you knew that terror was ensuing. Rambunctious fellow. Never forget him. After this gentleman graduated from Bible college, he and his wife moved off. Pastor, he was pastoring in Eastern North Carolina. And one day on social media, I can still remember reading something that when I read it, it made me physically sick. I saw where his son, who was now 17 years old at the time, was killed in a tragic accident. A little boy that I'd seen run up and down the street. A little boy that I could still see the mischievous twinkle in his eye. Dead. I'd not made contact with my friend for a number of years, and so I told him. I finally found out his phone number, and I just sent him a text. Contacted him on Facebook. I said, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I have no idea what you're experiencing, but I want you to know I'm grieving for you and your wife and your daughter, and I'm just praying for you in these days. He expressed his appreciation, and it just wasn't that time for me to ask details about what had happened. All I knew was it was an accident. A couple of weeks later, I thought I would go online, and I searched for the area there. I typed in the young man's name, and I pulled up an article that told me how that young man passed away. 17 years old, riding in the passenger seat of a car with his girlfriend driving. And while she was driving, she received a text message from a friend, and she continued to keep up that texting conversation. And in her last moments with that young man, she was typing a text only to look up and to see a tractor trailer coming head on. She veered farther around. The tractor trailer instantaneously smashed right into the passenger seat, killing her boyfriend instantly. And even to this day, that's a burden that that young lady lives with. You know why? Because she was distracted. I tell you that story tonight for you to understand this. It'd be a tragedy tonight for somebody in the class of 2016 to be fixated on their own way and leave this place distracted. You have no idea what may hit you. I'm talking to individuals in this room tonight. Did you know this verse is not just good for high school graduates or college graduates? It's for every person in this room. A family could be disintegrated as long as the father keeps seeking his own way. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. May you remember that principle on this night. And I pray that God's best will be in your future. Father, I thank you, Lord, for our time tonight, and I pray for these dear graduates. Lord, I pray for these in the high school that are graduating tonight. Lord, my heart brims in it with excitement, knowing that there can be some great days ahead. And God, I have every reason to believe tonight that you can work mightily in their lives, and I pray that as they leave this place tonight, that they'd not be distracted. Lord, I pray for every college graduate here tonight. Lord, we are excited about this threshold to where you've brought them. Lord, I pray that when their heart is tempted to be gripped by fear, Lord, when they face the uncertain in serving you in ministry, that they'd remember a sweet promise, and all these things shall be added unto you. And Lord, may you help every one of us here tonight not walk out of this room distracted. In Christ's name, amen.